Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Man, I am feeling good. I had some fun times the last couple of nights in here in this house. Also, I was thinking this is a little bit more diverse of a group when it comes to seating arrangements and church org charts here. I was watching an Instagram. A guy posted, my mother sent it to me, and I thought about playing it. I thought maybe some could connect or resonate. But the guy was on there. He goes, "Now here's how the church lays out and who sits where." And he had a little sanctuary, his chairs like this here. And he goes, "Now back in the back, we're back row hardcore. We're back row Baptist. We sit back here, and we do all service is look up front and judge all the people up front and how they treat their kids, how they watch their kids. In fact, all lunch, that's all we do is talk about all the people up front." And so he goes, "Now those people up front, they really want to be passionate for the Lord. They want to really pursue the Lord, and they really want to go after the Lord, and they want to really please the Lord. But the ones in the middle, they kind of want to be there, but they also still want to be back in the back like us." He goes, "Back in the back like us, not only do we judge everybody during lunch, but we might get arrested, but we have a lot of fun during the week. But we get out so we can be at church on Sunday." So I'm like, "Yeah, well, now I know where you are with the Lord based on where you sit yourself in the house. So thanks for being honest with me. I appreciate you guys. It's very, very transparent." And so good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Last night we had a lot of fun. Alex was our transition speaker this morning. Alex and Cassandra have really plowed forward on a really cool venture. For the first time ever in East Texas, they have planted and done the hard work of developing a semi-pro soccer team for a semi-pro league here in Henderson County, but East Texas. Now, the semi-pro league is it just national or is it international? It's national, and so there's teams everywhere. Did you say 500? Something like 500? That's huge. Well, Alex has now planted our first semi-pro soccer team here in the Henderson County, representing East Texas. Last night, he was here breaking down. He invited all the families, the players that were signing, invited them here, and really laid down the law for them, so to speak, and gave them expectations, which is healthy. It's what you want to do as a leader, letting your people know what you expect. And so the team was over here, and as he got up and was explaining what the league is, he explained too that he wouldn't do anything that didn't point to the cross. This is a diverse group. He doesn't know. We don't know if people are following Christ, hate Christ, love Christ, act like they love Christ, but really don't, whatever. We don't know. It's like you guys. We can kind of see where you are, whether you sit, but other than that, we don't know. So he laid it out. He said, "Hey, I want," and part of that, and part of pointing people to Christ is, "I won't have a team who's not going to honor and show honor and respect on the field to the other players and the referees." Amen. And then he turned to the whole group and all their families and friends and the people that they invited that mean so much to them. And he said, "And also, we won't have a team who have fans and followers who show up to games and are disrespectful and dishonoring not only to other fans, but the other players and the referees." I was like, "That's my man right there. Let them know what to expect, draw the line, and set it up so that they can be successful." With a team like that, you can't help but be successful, because really success is found in the character formation, isn't it? Success is found in character formation. And so speaking of that, we are in starting a series that everybody just loves and struggles with at the same time. Today we're talking about, here we go, come on, relationships. The most difficult ship to take a trip on. They're so fun and challenging at the same time. Like, you know, they say, "Hey, what's the first ship to sink?" They say a partnership. Well, the most difficult ship is a relationship. And no matter where you are in relationship, you know, if you're alive, relationships are difficult. Last week in here, we were finishing a series, And we were talking about how we all carry this sense of religion with us. Now, it doesn't have, before it has anything to do with God, religion is our own set of beliefs, our own values, and our own practices. So you each individually, even if you grew up in the same home, have a set of beliefs internally, whether you express them or not. You have a set of values, and you have practices that actually show what you believe and what you value. Well, those things create a culture, a lens of culture and perspective of culture of what you expect the environment, the environments that you go in to look like and to feel like and to be able to sense and feel safe about based on your own beliefs, values, and practices. Now, guess what? So is the same for the person that you may get into a relationship with or the people that you may come into relationship with. Everybody's carrying these diverse, unique beliefs, values, practices, and a sense of culture within them. And so we have a culture clash. It goes beyond color or race or anything of that matter. It's literally a person-to-person culture clash. And these things can be really difficult when we don't understand and learn to bring under our differences to the Lord and to the kingdom of God and the Lord's culture and beliefs and values and what he expects us to practice. We will always collide and have difficulty when we're unwilling to do that. And so that is the ultimate battle. And today we're talking about that ultimate battle right here in being single and thriving. Being single and thriving. And so many of you are like, now, great, I'm not single, I'm taking a nap now. But let me tell you, at one point you were single. And I'm going to suggest to you that you probably didn't fulfill the role of you being single. And because of that, you might be struggling in your marriage or your ideology of marriage, your religion, your beliefs, values, and practices, because you weren't made complete as a single individual. However, not that you can't leave your spouse. Don't look at this as an excuse, great, I'm out now. Nope, you can't go back to being single, but while you're married, now is a time for you to go back, set a foundation of your own intimate relationship with the Lord and learning how to be there, the very things we're going to talk about today. And so learning that how is a how to honor God in every season. How many know it's difficult to honor God when you're single in some ways? It's also, until that's conquered, it can be hard to honor God while married too, whether your spouse knows what's going on or not. The Lord knows. You know. And so sometimes the very things we know about ourselves that our spouse doesn't know actually causes problems in our marriage because of the guilt and the shame and what we're carrying and we project back into. Okay, now I gotcha. So how many of you have ever been asked, so when are you going to get married? Why are you still single? What are you doing still single? Look at you. You're a great guy. You're a great guy. You're a great gal. Why are you still single? When are you going to get married? That's a cultural pressure, right? That's a general culture that happens in areas. And I know in the hometown that I grew up in, it's a pressure. It's a pressure usually in small towns and in tight-knit families. These are pressure points that cause you to think, there must be something wrong with me if I'm single and not married, right? Yes, yes. Maybe you didn't experience that. But our culture of often treats singleness like a waiting room for the real thing. Oh, well, you don't know, you're just single. Oh, you don't know, wait till you get married. Wait till you have kids. But what if singleness isn't a holding pattern? What if it's not? What if it's a season meant to be fully lived, not survived? What if, because I used to think being single meant I was missing out on something. It's as if the ultimate goal was to be at the wedding altar with someone, my soulmate, the one who I would always be in love with forever, and completely missing the very purpose for the season well before the altar. What if my paradigm shifted? What if the way I saw being single or understood singleness shifted? What if the goal was actually something greater? So let's talk about how to thrive in our singleness or how to add foundation back into your marriage as a single individual. So there's three things that I learned along the way that I want to share with you. Number one is chase purpose, not a partner. How many times you try to go find a place where, oh, I'm not find a partner there. Well, I'm going to start hanging out with some folks because, yeah, man, they have some potential partners with me over there. I got some meet with some friends because they hang out with these girls, and, oh, there's some potential partners over there. I hang out with these girls because they like these guys. They know these guys. Like, I'm using them to get to them. Partners. But what if we put that energy into literally seeking God's purpose over our lives rather than a partner for our lives? I wonder how that paradigm would shift and how we would begin to shift how we think and act and believe, our values, our practices. Because Scripture says to seek first the kingdom of God way before you start bringing somebody else into your picture, way before you start bringing little bitty ones into the house. Way before you even have the idea of marriage, seek first the kingdom of God. Because we've been sold this idea that relationship will complete us. Oh man, Jerry Maguire did us a disfavor. Whenever they came in and said, "You complete me." Oh Lord, and every man, every woman fell in love like, "Oh, I just want the man who completes me." And then every man felt the pressure of, "Man, I got to tell them those same things like, I gotta lean them in such a way and lean in such a way to touch their emotions to make them feel like they complete me and I complete them." And it's all a big lie because no individual, your spouse can never complete you. Your spouse will never be able to complete you. They should complement you. They should be your strength in time of need. They should be your support system. They should be one who encourages you. They should help give you confidence. They should help build you up. But there's only one that can complete you, and he is the Lord. And so this is the direction that we're heading on learning how to be single. So Paul, one of the greatest leaders in history, was single. He didn't sit around waiting. He changed the world. He uses singleness to drive eternal purpose. He wasn't searching for a spouse. He was pursuing his purpose. His heart was bent around, "Lord, what do you have for me? What are you saying for me? How do I use this season? What is next that you have for me right now?" But here's the challenge. What are you chasing? What is shaping some of your decisions and where you go and what you do with your time? Are you waiting for the right person or are you becoming the right person? Because your character will always shape your environment. Think about the five people that are closest to you. What comes out of their mouth? What do they do? How do they act? How do they behave? What are their beliefs? Because their actions prove their beliefs. What do they really value beyond what they say they value? So your purpose doesn't start when you say, "I do." It starts now. It starts well before the "I do's." Your identity is in Christ, not a relationship. No one will, when we find a relationship or seek a relationship and we are not whole yet in this area, whole in Christ or understood our wholeness in Christ, we will invest our identity into the relationship. And when the relationship is broken because it never was meant to sustain you or to complete you, and because we will mess it up, then our identity gets jacked up because it was lost in a relationship with another person rather being solidified in the Lord. So we go around, and this will never resonate with anybody in this room. We go around from relationship to relationship, brokenness to brokenness, because somewhere we have this idea that if this right person, this person will complete me. If we just get it right, the two of us, he and I or she and I, when we get together, when we really get married, everything will get better. But in reality, none of that happens until we start to learn how to thrive in our singleness, in identity, and understanding our identity in the Lord. The world often tells us that our worth is measured by our relationship status. A lie. Culture makes singleness feel like a problem to solve rather than a season with a purpose. If you are single, this is a season with a purpose. You are on purpose. This season is on purpose, and it's not gap time until you get married. Isaiah 43:1 tells us, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." So your value doesn't change based on whether you're single or married. You belong to the Lord. You are the Lord's. You are already chosen, you are already loved, and you are already whole in Christ. He's redeemed you, he calls you, you belong to him, only in Christ. Here's the other part. If you're looking for a relationship to fill a void in your life, even a great relationship isn't enough. It could be the exact person that God has for you, but you have not become the exact person that he has for you to be. No person can fulfill what only God is meant to complete. And instead of looking for someone to complete you, look for God to fulfill you. Because if your marriage feels unfulfilled, it's because you have yet to become fulfilled in the Lord. Way before it's the spouse's problem. Way before they are the issue. It is a lack of fulfillment and being fulfilled and understanding who we are in God first. Number two, build a squad, not a plus one. Build a squad, get some people around you, not just looking for that person at the club. Find the people around you who you can trust, because Scripture tells us to walk with the wise and become wise. The more wisdom you get around you, the more it starts to pour inside of you. The more perspective that you allow around you of godly counsel and with people that are passionate for the Lord, the more it starts to infiltrate your mind and your soul, your decision making. Here's what always is worrisome whenever Johnny starts to disappear from the pack. Oh, Johnny's been hanging out. We've been doing devotions. He's been consistent. You can just see how God is growing him and his heart is transforming. Man, he's our people for sure. But then Johnny hadn't been coming. Where's Johnny, bro? I don't know. You know, hey, listen, I heard. I talked to him. I called him. I said, "Why, Johnny, why haven't you been here in a few weeks? Oh, I met this girl. I met this girl. We've been hanging out. And you know, why don't you bring her around and let us meet her? We'd love to meet her." "Oh, yeah, no, not yet, not right now, no, no." See, there's a problem. Because Johnny knows down inside there's something about this girl that ain't right. And he's got some circle of brothers that may speak into that and help protect him. But there's something inside of him that is a little afraid, because he may not get his soul void met if he brings her into the circle of wise counsel. Is somebody in the room today? Amen. We live in a world that says romantic love is the highest goal. I just want to live in romance, rainbows and butterflies and romance every day. Wish it were that way. But God designed us for more than just romance. He designed us for community. We need people around us. We need people around us that can speak into us. They can recognize our blind spots, and when they recognize, they see, and they're trustworthy. You can see the fruit of their own lives, their wise counsel. You'll allow them to speak into your lives with humility and honor. I mean, look at Jesus. He didn't have a spouse. He had plenty of women around him. Let me just tell you. There's a reason why Mary, and Mary, and Martha, and all of them can run and aft. But it was because of an authentic, genuine type of love, friendship. Completely different. He had disciples around him. Most likely, he spent more time with the three disciples than he did with the other nine disciples, and the other 70 disciples, and the other hundreds of disciples that were following Jesus. Peter, James, John, you see, time and time again, he scales a mountain with them. He's in intimate quarters and communicating. He's building friendships, and he's building trust, and he's creating health around him. Because Satan's always looking for an opportune moment. And when we won't listen to wisdom, Satan sneaks in, he jumps in, and the moment he's been waiting, he may wait years for that opportune moment, and pow, jumps right in. Some of us feel lonely. I know I did. Not because we're single, but because we've neglected the friendships that sustain us. It's this circle of people that help us, that strengthen us. They're there for us. It's our community. When we get weak, because we will get weak, they will be there to help lift us up and keep us strong. I remember the lonely times in being single. It's something inside of you until it is fulfilled in the Lord, just desires to have that companion. It desires to have that other individual to spend life with and do life with. And it's that very trigger, that very thing that tells you, should tell you, that if you can't be fulfilled and pleased and satisfied in being alone with the Lord, you will never be able to be fulfilled and satisfied in being with another person in a relationship. Because you will look for them to fulfill a void that they were never meant to fulfill. And when you look to them and they're not doing it, you will begin to demand that they fulfill a void. Then you will call out everything that's wrong with them because they're not fulfilling a void that is in your soul left unfulfilled by the Lord. We're not speaking to anybody in this room, I know. Talking about other people. So who's in your corner? Are you building relationships that encourage you, challenge you to move forward in Christ? Or are you looking for circles that complement you in your comfort zone that never mobilize you towards the Lord? The fruit of your life will show. Because here's the reality. If you can't do relationships with now, what makes you think you'll be able to do it when you add somebody else? Singleness is a season of opportunity, not just waiting. Paul actually speaks highly of singleness, saying it allows for undivided devotion. 1 Corinthians 7:32 says, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. When you're single, this is advice. Should be passionate. Questions on your heart every day. Should wake up and say, good morning, Lord. What are we going to do today? What do you have to say to me today, Lord? What do you want to address? Where do we want to go? What would you like for me to fulfill today? See, when you're single and walking with the Lord, you can pivot quick. You can move, right? You can shake and move because you're not having to ask, hey, baby, is it going to be okay today if I go and do this or go and do that? I feel like the Lord is, you know, and if you don't have that foundation already set, you won't be able to navigate those conversations whenever you're married. So singleness is a season of development and purpose. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. Oh, man, I just need to make sure she's happy. There's in this innate thing inside of me. As a man, I want to be a protector, a provider, all these things. And now God has given me this woman to steward and to care for. And now I'm trying to do my best, but I want to follow the Lord. I feel unfulfilled because I haven't quite fulfilled that void with the Lord yet, and I brought somebody else, and I don't know what to do. I'm stretched between the two. However, when you learn how to be fulfilled in the Lord first, and your intimate love relationship is solid with the Lord first, and you understand his voice and moving with him, then when you get into a relationship, not only are you going to attract the same type of person who loves the Lord more than you, which is a benefit and a help, but you'll be able to navigate those questions and have those conversations and say, hey, baby, what is on your heart? What do you feel like the Lord is stirring about in this next season? What is God doing with you right now? What are some things? Here's some things that the Lord has been talking to me about. Here's some thematic things that God has been mentioning. Here's some context that he's been giving me. I feel like he's saying you don't have a clue on how to have those conversations because you never had those conversations with the Lord. And then I just start to dominate the conversation. I dominate the marriage. I manipulate the marriage. I control the marriage. I get anything I do because I want to get my way because that's what I was able to do when I was single. And everybody in the room and in the house is living on eggshells and walking around afraid and nobody can speak and live and breathe. You walk in the room and it's heavy. Think about it. Right now, you have the freedom to go where God calls you. You may have more time to invest in your faith, your friendships, your passions, and you should. That's the season. You can develop your character and build a solid foundation for the future. I'm telling you, character will take you places. oh man, it'll take you some places. It'll take you into realms. It'll take you into circles. It'll take you into relationships and community, but poor character will too. Whew. Poor character that doesn't want to escalate and elevate to the ways of God will always bring more trauma, more discouragement, more trial, more pains. And we become these trauma balls just rolling around through life, shaping our religion, our beliefs, our values, our practices, the culture of our rooms, the physical rooms that we walk in, and create the clashes and tensions in this ship called a relationship. So it's not, when I'm married, I'll do X, Y, Z. Anybody ever said that? Oh, when I'm married, we're going to do this. When I'm married, we'll do this. When I'm married, no, now. Because if the Lord is putting on your heart, or you're willing to follow the Lord and pursue the Lord, then he wants to tell you now so that you can fulfill some of those things. And maybe, just maybe, the things that God wants you to fulfill right now in your singleness is probably the trajectory and the path to the person that he is also shaping, because they're following and falling in love with him and following him. And you guys are going to meet at the point of fulfilling his desires for your life. Man, it's a word. Ephesians 2:10, I can trust it, because for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for, why are we created? For good works. When did he do that? Where did he come up with this idea? Oh, well, God prepared those, and then he prepared you. He created you so that you would discover the ultimate purpose in which God created you. Let me give you an overarching umbrella. The overarching umbrella, the general purpose, one is to glorify the Father, to fulfill God's will, and to reconcile the lost back to him. Generally speaking, everything you do, every word that comes out of your mouth, every heart attitude, every behavior, every value, every practice should be leading towards unity and reconciliation back to God. And anything that doesn't look like it has self-purpose, self-religion, self-beliefs, self-values all over it. And that stuff will never get worked out until you decide in your singleness or where you are now that you will be made whole in the Lord, surrendering all of your character attributes that do not look, smell, taste, and feel like him. Man, we're going to have the next generation of awesome marriages because of this word. Number three, guard your heart, don't follow it. Oh, man. Well, I don't know. What's in your heart? What do you feel like you should do? I don't know what to do with my life. What it's in your heart to do? Well, do that. No, bad advice. It should be more like, well, what's in your heart, baby? What do you feel is right? What do you feel is right in your heart to do? Well, don't do that. The next thing you should say when they tell you what's in their heart, yeah, that's what you don't do. Instead, guard it. And I don't mean guard it with rejection and guard it with pain, guard it with, no, I won't let anybody in, or no, I just, nope, boundaries and barriers all around. I don't mean guard it like that in an unhealthy way. Guard it with the Word of God. Everything has to filter through the Word of God. It's guarded by the principles and practices that are in the Word of God, because when I can't trust me and I can't trust those around me, I can trust the Word of God and what the Word of God produces. Amen. Amen, Pastor Nathan, that's right. Because the Word of God can produce way more for our lives than our own hearts and its desires within itself. Because when they're hurt, or they've been through hurt, and that hurt has left uncleaned and unfulfilled and unhealed, it will distort. Satan always has a way in to manipulate and thwart and confuse. And when we don't have a circle of wise counsel who will allow to pour into us, we won't recognize when Satan is thwarting and confusing, and we'll end up over here with Brenda wondering where Johnny is. And Susie be doing it too. With Frank. Hope there's no Franks in here. And Brenda's. I'm sure you're a good person. All right. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, for the love of God, guard your heart. Guard your heart. That means setting boundaries, not just physical ones. Not just physical ones, but emotional ones and spiritual ones. Because whenever you're going through a tough time or you're feeling lonely, whether single or married, well, you keep finding yourself at the water cooler. where Jasmine's at the water cooler. And Jasmine keeps finding herself at the water cooler while you're at the water cooler. And all of a sudden, there's some stories and conversations being shared around the water cooler. And now, because of my unmet emotional needs at home, or as a single individual with the Lord, my emotions, I'm starting to have emotional infidelity with Jasmine at the water cooler. Oh yeah, we're going to go there. And now, instead of being fulfilled emotionally at home, if I'm married and giving that to my spouse, I'm giving it away over here at the water cooler. And so I'm getting what belongs at home fulfilled over here at the water cooler space, whatever your water cooler is. Some of you be like, well, see, I don't even have a water cooler at my place. Yeah, it's somewhere else. Right here, somewhere. So you protect that. You have to set up boundaries. You have to set in your mind that no, that belongs to the Lord and to my spouse because they deserve my emotional capacity. They deserve the emotional gold. They deserve what they fought for and fought through so much for our marriage and through our marriage that I am doing them a disfavor by blaming them, by shaming them, by saying they are the cause of the problem, but yet here I am getting my emotional fulfillment somewhere else whenever they deserve it. Spiritual boundaries. I know it's hard because in a marriage, as single, if you're not settled in this, if you haven't decided and committed and found fulfillment in the Lord where, man, I'm good being by myself, I love it, but it is cool to be around others, both genders, male and female, but I don't feel like I'm undivided or I'm no longer myself when I'm around somebody else because I'm whole in me. That's what I'm talking about. But when that's not in place, the spiritual boundaries have to be put in place. Oh, you know, man, she was just, you know, guys, Brenda over here, she just had some prayer needs, and it started out where I was just praying for her. I met her, and she wanted me to pray for her. Yeah, bro. Yeah, right. She wanted you to pray for her. She wanted you to lay hands on her. Hey, we're dumb. We be believing stuff like that. We get it. We go all in. When we're unfulfilled, we do. Girls too. Oh man, he's so sweet. Listen, here's what happens. You know, because I'm unfulfilled within myself, you know, he he just loves the Lord. And my husband doesn't follow the Lord like that. He doesn't really show strength in the Lord like that. He doesn't pray for me. He doesn't guide me like that. And I feel like he's a man that can do that and would do that. And look at him. He prays for people. He leads. He does all these spiritual things. And that's what I want my husband to. Y'all ready for prayer? Sure is quiet in this room. Joseph in the Bible got this right. When he goes to Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife tried to make a move on him. Joseph didn't say, hey, I don't know, show me a little bit. What you like? Where? Out. Emotional, spiritual boundaries, physical boundary, out. Hey, I'm out. Joseph knew that he needed to honor the man of the house and honor the Lord. Because of his relationship was so strong with the Lord, he knew who he was in the Lord, but he knew that wasn't what belonged to him. Because of identity and knowing he has sonship that is authentic and real, he knew to dishonor the man of the house, he would be dishonoring her as well, and he would be dishonoring God and himself, a four-way dishonor. Joseph knew this. Because of his relationship with God. So he got it right. He honored God and he walked away. Godly relationships flow out of purpose, not pressure. Thank you. Godly relationships flow out of purpose and not pressure. If you are single and you are living in a relationship, you are in a relationship and the other person is pressuring you to do something that you are not ready for, you need to give them the eject button, even if it's for a time that says, feels pressure. This feels like pressure. And I'm not looking for a relationship that's filled with pressure. I'm looking for a relationship that's all about purpose. And if you don't stand the ground right now, that ground right now, let me just tell you, you will get rolled over when it comes to saying the I do's. Because all the trickery will come out until you get to the altar. And once that ring is on the finger and they think, I've got this, the certification of marriage is signed and sent back to the county, locked in. Now take the mask off, and what you got a smell of before becomes the real thing from there on. Good luck, Buttercup. Listen to your pastor who's trying to give you wise counsel today. Many people enter relationships out of pressure. Sometimes it's family. Oh, you need to date her. Oh, you should date him. He's a good boy. Comes from a lot of money. Oh, his family's very spiritual. Her family's very spiritual. Oh, they got a good background. Oh, man, that'll help you set your kids up. You know, you should marry for money. You know, pressure, pressure, pressure. Friends, social expectations. You know what? Let's not invite her. She's always single. And she always causes chaos. And I think my husband likes her, too. We ain't going to invite. She just needs to go get married. But the healthiest relationships happen out of purpose. Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's what that looks like, and I'm so glad someone taught me this during my singleness. You see, God polishes in a couple of ways. When we're intimate with the Lord and we're learning to hear his voice and we're asking him how he feels about things and what he thinks about things and what his heart is for things and what he wants to say today, and we're cultivating that relationship with him, we're also sensitizing our voice to his heart, to his voice. Then we start to become sensitive to the direction in which he prompts, in which he leads. Two things happen. He gives us the old switcheroo. You know what the switcheroo is? Takes something that you were looking at that you were really ambitious for, takes that and fulfills it, puts something else on it. Unfortunately, you were carrying the counterfeit version and he had the authentic version. And the more you fell in love with him and you just stay focused on him, he started to shape those desires. Or, he starts to say, now they're ready for this desire that I created them for, so I'm going to put that in their heart as well. So that as they seek me, they'll start to follow me, and I'll lead them right to those two desires that will be fulfilled because of their intimate relationship with me. Woo. Now I don't have to manipulate my way to my ambitions. I don't have to cause destruction and distortion because of my unhealth and my voids, my wounds, my traumas, my ambitious desires. Because there's a difference between ambition and desire. Another message. Wrong mindset is I need a relationship to step into my calling. The right mindset is I will step into my calling, and if God brings somebody, great. But if not, I'm good. I'm fulfilled. I'm whole in the Holy Spirit. I have a renewed mind. Because singleness is not a problem to be solved. It's a season with purpose. If you're single, you are on a season with purpose. You are in the refining stage in preparation for purpose, not marriage. For purpose first, for God's best first, for his ultimate desires for you first, for your fulfillment, your wholeness, your discovery of an identity, your belonging, your purpose first. That's your season. Anything outside of that is a distraction. It will cause you to veer away from truth. It will cause you to veer away from the heart of God. It will cause you to veer away from his best for you. So you bring those Brendas in to the circle of counsel and say, hey, would y'all check her out, make sure she's good for me? Because if he ain't, she's out. Because y'all know me. Y'all know what I say and how I think and what I really like. I've been telling her I like all this stuff. I don't like tan. That's not my favorite color. But if she believes it, Johnny, that's not your favorite color. And I don't mean skin. I actually like tan skin, right, baby? I was so glad. I was 8 years of healing and hardship and being single and discovering how to be single, how to be myself before I could be with anybody else. Got into two little short-term relationships and messed them up both because of my jacked upness. God used them. One of them he told me to stop, to break off. And the moment he did, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit come into that room so hard, it humbled me badly to the ground, and I was sobbing in tears, lamenting for her that I know I hurt her, but I also knew that I was hurting the Holy Spirit by staying in that relationship, so I was broken, which began to change how I look at relationships. And whenever you're willing to do that and be like that, God can really do some things. He can really shape some things. But if you're not there, you better get there. You better become sensitive to his voice. You better want that. Because a healthy relationship won't fix you. It can only reflect you. Why is your relationship so healthy? Because I choose to pursue the Lord. And whenever it hurts, whenever we don't understand each other, whenever we argue or we fight, instead of me reacting out of my wounds and my traumas and trying to dominate or manipulate or control or all those little things that humans do, I go to the Lord. I surrender to the Lord. And way before I ask him to fix her, I ask him to fix me. So I want to pray for you today. If you will, stand up. If you want to, you don't have to. I want to pray for you, whether you're single and trying to figure out how to be single, or you're married and wondering, how do I do this now? The Lord heals everything he touches. And oftentimes, it's painful. The sword of the Lord heals every place that it cuts, but when it cuts, it hurts. It's a double-edged healing sword. And so I'm going to ask today that the Lord do some healing, even though it may be painful. Because that's where the gold comes from. Gold must be purified to be pure, and that comes through fiery furnace. In order to grow, we must be pruned. Even good things are pruned, so we got to embrace the pruning. The sifting to get the wheat, you got to be sifted. Ooh, to get the good, the extra, extra virgin olive oil, you got to be pressed down hard. To get the wine, baby, come on, somebody. You got to squeeze them grapes. Nothing sounds like comfort, does it? It's not comfortable. But it's worth every bit of it for our character to be shaped and molded into the likeness of the Lord so that we can truly find our whole selves, to be our best selves, because we don't have any idea how to be the best self. He has it all. So Lord, right now, pray with me. Lord, right now, I just ask that you touch every heart that is single, struggling, lonely, in temptation. Lord, your word says that even you were tempted with every temptation that humans were tempted with, yet you overcame. Lord, help us to lean into the overcoming. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Those who are single, help them to embrace the season with joy and not lamentations. Lord, what needs to be purified away, let the fire of your purification come like a mighty wind and burn it out till they see and feel and sense the glory of your presence. And Lord, for those of us who are married and maybe didn't get this right, let us see our weddings, our marriages through another lens today. Let it be that we start, instead of working to fix our marriage, we start working to surrender to you, to humble ourselves before you, to allow your working, your pruning, your threshing fork to work us over, purify us, to crush us for the new wine. Lord, fix us before we ever try to get you to fix the other person. And Lord, we thank you for your perfect work because you are perfect. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can I get a good amen, somebody? Amen. Amen.